You're listening to Buttercuts. It's Tuesday, December 29th. On this episode, Weston and I recap the 2020 season with our highlights, lowlights, and surprises. And then we dive into 2021 a little bit. Enjoy. Welcome, everyone, to the Buttercuts podcast. With us, as usual, now, Weston Maughan, co-host. How are you, and how was your Christmas?
Oh, man, Christmas was good. Kids, they loved it. I didn't get one thing related to golf, which is shocking.
I'm trying to think, and I did, but it was just a good buddy in the Instagram world did a Secret Santa.
Oh, there you
go. They basically, everybody got somebody different. So I got a hat from a club in Bakersfield, California, the hotbed of golf. But it was funny. He's like, there's not much here in Bakersfield, but here you go. He said the track is pretty solid. So
that's fun.
But so I think that was pretty much it. I mean, everything else was just kind of lifestyle, like shoes and some books and stuff. So it was fun. Like I said, I enjoy this time of year, spending time with family and things like that. So, which is the important part of Christmas is hanging out with the fam.
For sure.
So, but that being said, the year's coming to a close. Mm-hmm. New Year's coming up. Looking forward to 2021. I will say that as bad as people feel like 2020 was, and there's, like I said, obviously a strange year, but all in all, I feel like 2020 was a pretty great year for me. So I've, you know, not obviously New Year's bring, you know, great hope, but I think it just brings, you know, the things of just continuing on what we did. Us at Impact Golf Center, we actually probably had one of our best years ever. So it was good for us. And like I said, I grew as a teacher, as a fitter, and a lot of other things that I started doing. So it was a good year for me. What about you?
You know, it's just different. Something about Utah, the state of Utah, it's pretty resilient. I mean, we're affected just like every other state with pandemic and whatnot, but honestly I think we handled it incredibly well. And I know a lot of people are talking about Florida and Texas staying open, but Utah is definitely staying open. And I think that if you're looking for something where there's a lot of affordable golf and an open economy, this might be the place to go. But
don't open the invitation too wide there.
Okay. But you know, the reason I bring that topic up is I'm in the tech world and in my regular job, and so you know, I'm work from home and everything's going fine. Company's doing great, and can't say that COVID has hit us too hard, to be honest. But it's really just the family stuff that I think is affected the most.
For sure. Yeah. And I'm in the golf business, and it's been really good. Like I said, Utah was a pretty great state to be in because, I mean, it obviously changed some things and affected the access to some places, like some private clubs that I would play a little bit more regular. But I mean, other than that, it seemed, well, business as usual, but at a higher capacity. So it was good for for us, and let's hope it can kind of continues to that trend here in the future. So, but speaking of that, so the PGA Tour or golf in general in 2020, obviously reduced schedule, reduced season. Mm-hmm. So kind of what were the surprises? What were your kind of highlights, lowlights of the year? I guess we'll limit the players on the, on the golf tours.
I think the biggest surprise for me this year, and maybe it's just hard for some players to catch a groove, but not to see Ricky Fowler win or even, you know, be somebody to talk about in every tournament. There was a stretch there where the guy couldn't finish out of the top five. But it seems like, you know, he's going through some stuff right now. I don't know what it is. It could be family, could be golf equipment wise, but something's going on because he's, you know, he's kind of following the Spieth trail, so to speak.
Let's not jinx him with that for sure.
Well, I think he's going to figure things out, but
yeah, he ended in 94th position in the FedEx Cup standings with only two top tens.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you think about it for him, but I think, I mean, the biggest thing for him is it seems like as of late in his last couple of years, he'll go from one instructor. I think he's been through like three or four instructors in the last couple of years. It may have only been three, but I know he was with Butch and then he was with someone else. And then that was short lived. And I can't remember who it was. Who had him doing the little step deal in his swing. But I think he's just chasing the swing. And I mean, a little bit different than Spieth, where Spieth, I believe, started chasing distance.
Yeah.
And kind of forgot what had got him there, right? He kind of worked so hard that he thought he needed to gain 5 to 10 yards, which in the whole realm of things, 5 to 10 yards is not much, not enough to, I think, make a difference for him. So, but it'll be interesting to see whether either of those two guys can come back and do it. So, but I think you look at the bottom of the FedEx Cup standings, just because that's what I have pulled up. And I mean, you just see some guys that you wouldn't think you'd see down at the bottom. I mean, there's a lot of them, obviously Spieth, we talked about, he's 107th, mm-hmm. You know, you got some guys who had won before. I mean, like Keith Mitchell was playing pretty good. He ended up down in the list, like Lucas Glover, you thought he was going to come back. Scott Stallings, I mean, Shane Lowry ended up 123rd, but I think he mainly just because he stayed, you know, back over in his home country and played a little bit more over there because he didn't play many events over here. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, there's some guys on that side of it. And actually, I mean, Phil Mickelson being at 75th in the FedEx Cup standings was kind of telling, especially because he goes into the Champions Tour and really just dominated the tournaments that he played really well, only played in a few, but it was just kind of a weird year all the way around. You'll see whether they're, you know, like Jason Day is down in the standings, you know, Matt Kuchar's down in the standings.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, partly due to the schedule too. There's probably a lot of tournaments that some of these other guys needed to get somewhere, right? Maybe right. It was a lower level tour event and they just didn't have those opportunities to compete and actually get a groove.
Right.
So it's just a tough year, and I wonder how the PGA Tour is going to, you know, address things from a card perspective or,
They didn't do anything. They basically didn't do anything. It was basically, it's a roll season into 2021.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's good.
It's a roll season. Yeah, it's good into that. And I mean, you saw some guys, obviously, Dustin Johnson. I'm only played in 14 events, really, but played really well in those 14 events, or at least, yeah, you know, gets three wins out of there, and seven top 10. So,
yeah, he was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So, I mean, even from a scoring average perspective, I mean, in 2020, DJ was, he was eighth on tour in scoring average. And then in 2021, he was first. Granted, there was only three tournaments he played, but his scoring average in those three tournaments was 66.9. So yeah,
it's been crazy the way that he's played and the things that he's done over the last couple of years to get his game where it needs to be, right? He, from 120 yards in, the amount of improvement that he's made, you know, strictly because he was smart enough to recognize, with help of, you know, his coach Claude, and was like, look, you hit it here a lot. If you can get better, you know, inside 100 and 120 yards, how dominant you can be. And he's kind of proved that when he's on his game, I don't think there's anyone that can compete with him right now. I mean, hands down, because he hits it so far and so straight, and he's so good inside 120 yards. So
yeah, he is pretty unstoppable. He does, I don't want to say he gets streaky, but he does these crazy stretches where he's just in the zone, not just for a week, but like a month or 2 months.
Yeah. And it's just where it doesn't seem like he can miss a shot.
No. And, you know, he is so long, and I don't think enough. I know Bryson's been getting a lot of publicity around his length, but DJ is not much shorter, and the dude isn't trying to get there. Like, if he just took a little bit wider backswing, he's going to be pushing the numbers that Bryson's doing.
Yeah, he's just – it's really this – the speed that he generates with this swing is pretty crazy on that front. But I mean, like I said, he's got to be like the highlight, obviously, is Dustin Johnson, the way he played. There was obviously, you know, Colin Morikawa getting a major, the first of those, you know, the big three coming out with him, Victor Hovland and Matt Wolf, which, you know, just in this 2021 season, Victor Hovland gets a win, breaks the Puerto Rico curse.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see who comes out of that three as the best. My prediction, I think for me, it's going to be, I mean, just after this last little bit, I think it'll be a kind of a toss up between Hovland and Morikawa.
Really?
And I think, of the three, that
yeah,
I don't think Wolf's going to have a bad career, but I don't think he's going to have as good of a career as those other two, just because he is a little bit more streaky with his ball striking.
Yeah,
and as you age with that swing, timing can be an issue and some things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how it is with those three. But
I would have picked Morikawa over Hovland. I think that he's playing, what I like about Morikawa is he's playing his game. I don't feel like he's trying to imitate or be anybody else on the golf course. And, you know, with the way he's been playing and what he's already done, it's really impressive. He is a fantastic iron player, and the kid can putt. So that's a pretty good combo.
And I would have said actually that Colin Morikawa is actually, well, of the three, and I And as you would have it, I tried to click on his name in here and won't let me pull him up to see his stats on that. So let's just go into Morikawa's stats. I actually don't think he's that great of a putter, because they were talking about it in the with the PGA Championship that he got hot, but his putting is one thing that has held him back on that. And I mean, you saw it in a couple of tournaments where we missed a couple of short ones to get.
Yeah, he was fourth on the money list in 2020 with two wins. He was one of six players to have a multiple victory season in 2020.
Right.
So
like I said, he's got it. And the thing about it is he may not be as bad as like the initial numbers show. It's just like Adam Scott, right? Yeah. Adam Scott was such a great ball striker that he had so many more opportunities that it looked like he struggled a little bit with the putter.
Yeah.
So that could be some of that. And like I said, I want to see it so that I can pull some stats and have him in front of me on that. But like I said, I remember them talking about it when he was in there that his putter was hot. And it's the same thing with both the other two, Hovland and Matt Wolf, where they struggle a little bit with the putter that's going to hurt them. Right. And yeah. I think when you kind of get everything, you know, down to it of the ball strikers, I think an overall ball striker, I think Hovland's may edge out as a pure ball striker with irons. Morikawa, I think, is the better of, or the best of the three. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up on that. And then, like I said, Wolf, I just think can have just amazing days with all around, where he just kind of goes off and he'll make a ton of birdies because he does take a lot of chances,
yeah,
and things like that. So let's see. Of course, like I said, we were just talking about this earlier about it around. Okay, putting stats.
Yeah, let's dive into it. I'm just going to flat out say navigating the PGAtour.com website for stats is a nightmare.
So, and this is 20. Can we do 2020 stats? Okay, there's 2020 stats. So he's about this. He's 0.099 negative 0.099 strokes in putting. So he loses, what is that, almost a tenth of a shot around. Well, but that put but it's, you know, but that puts him in 128th spot. Total putting 112th. Right? So it's like I said, he'll have his good days, but where he gets approach to the green, he probably his approach to the green, he gains, he's 0.884, so he's second in strokes gained off the tee or around or approach to the green.
Exactly.
So he's getting a lot of chances. So that could, I mean,
and that's what it is. I mean, if you get a guy who only hits 13 greens around, and every once in a while he's hitting it close, but he's also making some bombs, his putting stats are going to be way better than a guy who's hitting 15 or 16 greens around.
Yeah. And so, like I said, it skews it, but I mean, you got to look at that in the overall, where if he could get that down to 50, around the 50, it just has to be average in that statistic, and how much that could you know, boost what he is overall. So,
And being a short player too, like, he's 5'9". So how much power is he going to generate? Well, He averages about 300 off the tee, 97th in total distance, but he's 19th in strokes gained off the tee. So
yeah, so he makes it work. So
yeah,
that. But getting into that, people who played well this last year that we talked about, now PGA Tour at the 1st of December came out with a top 10 comeback players of the year for 2020-2021. And on the top of the list, they had Tiger Woods, right? Mm-hmm. Which seems a little, because if they're doing it 20, they obviously did stats, but 2020-2021, he obviously 2019, he wins the Masters. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's hard to say that he would be the comeback player of the year. Plus, like I said, it just doesn't seem like he has that extra gear to put together the sequence, string together the tournaments that he would need to be the comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
On that, and then you got Rory McIlroy, which he did struggle. He was still, I think he's still top 20 in the FedEx Cup points and the money list. So, I mean, that one, but he could have a year where he'd be like, yeah, he was really off that this year, and it could warrant that comeback player of the year. So other guys on the list, Zach Johnson, Stuart Sink, which I don't know how he makes that list.
Well, he
but he played pretty – yeah, that's right. Yeah. So he kind of makes that.
The last time he won, I think, was like 2012 or something.
Yeah.
And then to come back and do that, that was pretty special for him. It was maybe he's lightning in a bottle, but
Exactly. Justin Rose on that list, like I said, and his was, and we talked about this a little bit, and we'll talk about it more with equipment changes, right? Where he made an equipment change and promptly, I don't know whether that was the exact reason for it, but kind of fell from grace for a little bit. There, Jason Day is on that list.
Yep.
Like I said, his will all be all dependent on health, right? He's always got something little going on. It seems like whether it's a back, whether it's, but mainly back. Next guy on the list, Brooks Koepka. I about said Bryce. Wasn't there a joke in there somewhere about that where he's kept getting called Bryce or something? I think it was, but Brooks Koepka coming back from his knee. And you just never know whether he'll be the same guy again. And the guy that we spoke about earlier, Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
Can he regain what he once was?
Yeah.
Sergio Garcia, which I think his days are well past him at this point. And then last guy in the list, Tommy Fleetwood, which we'll be discussing a little bit later in regards to equipment changes. But of those 10 guys, I mean, who's your favorite to kind of win that comeback player of the year?
Oh, I mean, I always have to vote for Tiger just because I want him to win every major. But I think the reasonable choice would be, for me, Ricky. I think he's got a great opportunity to just get better, and I don't know what it's going to take. If I'm being honest, I think it's around equipment. That's my personal opinion. He's been switching up irons probably two or three different sets this year, different shafts.
Trying to find the right combination.
Yep, trying to find the right combo. I mean, he's got a talented team helping him out, but he's playing irons from like 4 or 5 years ago with X100 shafts in them. And for a while there, he was playing C-tapers, KVS, which are completely different shafts.
Yeah.
And then he had an iron set designed just for him called the Rev 33s.
Right.
Kind of teased us with, and the whole thing was that it took 33 revisions to get it just how Ricky wanted, and he's not even playing. And so I think he needs to figure that out. And funny enough, like nothing against the golf ball, but I think his switch to a different golf ball really messed with him. And I think that's where all the other equipment changes started to unfold. He went to a golf ball that didn't spin the way his previous golf ball did. And that's what I think's happened. And I saw Rory follow suit with that when he switched to TaylorMade. He was having trouble spinning it. And then it was this huge story that he went to the TP5 ball, which spun more because he played with Tiger and saw that Tiger was using spin to his advantage. I just think that that golf ball change for him was just a
I think there's a myriad of reasons, like say he's been through a few coachings. I just don't think he's really kind of locked in. He keeps searching for that magic pill on his swing, which I think he was, I mean, personally, my personal opinion, I think he was a little bit impatient with where Butch was taken.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think Butch was making some really good moves, and he was actually showing some real promise in what Butch was doing with him. But I don't, like I said, I think it took him so kind of far away, and he'd have some good weeks and then he'd have some really bad weeks. Yeah. But I think that was just where Butch was trying to take him, that I think it was going to take a little bit, you know, a little bit longer than I think he was ready to take on. And yeah, I don't know. I actually see him hanging right where he's kind of at right now. Really? Yep. Hanging in that. He'll keep his card, but he won't compete much. He'll flash up on leaderboards here and there. But I mean, I've got kind of two, like I said, I think Rory's going to kind of pull it together. I think Justin Rose is going to be solid, but I think a guy who could come out, and I think he's ready for kind of a breakout after he got a lot of attention and then is coming back to it. I think Tommy Fleetwood has a really good chance to get that. But, I mean, who knows? Like I said, we've talked about him. He just signed a deal with TaylorMade. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that that's as big of a deal as – it could be, because I think he was already playing their ball. He was already playing, you know, he was using some of their irons and some things that way. So I don't know. That's a huge change for him with, you know, in regards to most of his set. You're still going to have some that's he's changed on it. But I think kind of Rory and Fleetwood are my two picks out of those 10 guys. So,
yeah.
But who knows? It could end up being somebody completely different. We'll just have to see. But since we're on the kind of path of predictions, mm-hmm. We're going to have four majors next year.
Yep.
Cross our fingers that it doesn't continue on, but we should have four majors. They've proved that they can do it. They, you know, the PGA Tour was the first to really come back on a pretty full go at it. So
yeah,
it should be fine.
PGA Tour is going to figure things out, because every tournament to them is money. It's revenue.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to stop them from making revenue, and they're going to figure out, I mean, they were pretty quick to figure things out and get a handle on it, but I think we'll have a full tournament schedule. Everything proceed as normal. But they're just going to have their protocols. And then you're going to get those horrible notes like, oh, guess what? You know, Fleetwood's out this week. He tested positive for COVID, or, you know, who knows. Yeah. But that stuff's going to pop up. But we're going to have a full schedule, and people are going to be watching golf with little to no spectators. And
Hopefully it gets back to more like normal. Although it was interesting to watch without fans because they got into some positions that they don't normally get into with when they have fans there to kind of block the ball from getting into trouble.
I'm making this up, but it's probably not far from the truth. But Jack Nicklaus didn't lose a golf ball for 30 years on tour. And why? He had the biggest crowd around him. Yep. And wherever his ball went, people were going to find it. So, you're right. With no, like, even at the Masters, Bryson lost a golf ball right next to the green.
Yeah. And
that's just not going to happen if you have a crowd. And
it's for sure. So that'll be interesting to see where that goes. But predictions for majors.
Oh,
I know it's early in the game.
Oh man,
putting herself out there. I won't hold you to anything stringent.
Would it be bold to put DJ for every single one of them?
I think it would be bold. I think that would be pretty bold. Two of the four, maybe.
I
can see that for sure.
Where are they even being played? But I mean, I know we got the Masters, and
I think the U.S. Open this year is at Torrey Pines. The PGA is Kiawa Island, I believe. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right on that one. And then the Open Championship is, where was it supposed to be held this year? They're pushing everything back.
Royal St. George's.
Okay. So, oh man. Geez. Now I'm going to bring up that list.
Torrey Pines, you have to be really good. If they're going to throw out the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, they're going to make it brutal.
You're going to get in some spots that can be pretty like, brutal out there.
Even during the I don't know what it's called now, it used to be called the Farmers, but even during just the regular tour stop there, like, that was a brutal tournament.
Right.
Brutal tournament.
Yeah, I'm calling that Bryson doesn't go back to back.
No.
I'm going, so let's go in order, because it'll be Masters first.
Yep.
And
DJ had an amazing run. It's pretty rare for somebody to get back to back. I think there's only three or four guys that have ever done back to back Masters. I think with the Masters being in April, normal time frame, they're gonna have the right grass and everything. I want to pick Tiger. I think it's the only major he can win. But man, if he's ready for it and he's in the groove, he's really hard to beat there.
He is really hard to beat there. Like I said, he proved that a little bit. Like I said, it just, for me, it is whether he can kind of get that spark that kind of hit him after he made the 10 on number 12, which is crazy to even say in regards to Tiger Woods, but to see whether he can have that spark that kind of just lit him for those last six holes. So
I did see a stat around that where somebody made 10 on 12 and then the next year they won it. And I can't remember who it was that did it, but they referenced Tiger. Like, does this mean next year's is his?
He debunked that with the whole Jack, and they were kind of putting all those things together for him for this year, and it didn't happen. I just, like I said, I feel, it's hard for me to go against DJ. My favorite this year, I liked John Rahm a lot. But John Rahm, rumors, which may not be so much rumors, that he's moving to Callaway. And so it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays into how that affects him early in the year. I mean, it, like I said, it's hard to know. Like I said, they are just rumors for right now, but you've got a screenshot of him with a bag with his name on it. Yeah. He wasn't on the TaylorMade Christmas card, which is, I think, the bigger telltale sign on that. But I think I'm going to go DJ. I think he's like, I don't think he doesn't really get hurt, you know, with what he does. I think if he can stay focused and kind of just have that kind of go for it. But I think this year kind of taught him that, hey, I can compete and I can be involved in every single tournament. I don't have to win one of them and be like, oh, I'm good for 2 months. Yeah. So that's my pick, is I think DJ's going to go back to back.
That's big.
In that.
That's really big. Well, hey, I mean, he tore it up. He's going to be a lot more confident around there now that he's invited every year and now has the record for lowest Masters victory at 20 under. So
yeah,
not a bad thing.
So, and then next is the you said Tiger. Are you going with Tiger?
I'm going with Tiger. I'm doing it. Crazy.
He said it would be awesome for like, it would be awesome for the tournament. It would be pretty cool to open up the 2021 season with major season with a Tiger win.
Well, he, you know, granted he did get that 10 on 12. You give him a par there, he finishes at like -8 for the tournament, and he's at tied for 12. Yeah. He did not have a very good week.
No, it was a struggle all week for him, really. I mean, if you watched it, he just wasn't sharp with his irons at all. And I think that's where, like I said, I just think unless he has that real spark, I don't know whether the fire's necessarily gone, but I don't think it's burns as hot as it did. And I think he has to have that spark where the 10 was a little bit of, I don't know, embarrassing is the word, but it kind of was like, hey, I can't end on that. That can't be the lasting memory of the 2020 Masters for me. So he just kind of got on fire. So it'll be interesting to see. So then moving on to the PGA Championship at Kiawah Island. Like I said, it's another golf course. It can get windy. I mean, it can get kind of U.S. Open conditions at that course. So it'll be interesting to see how it sets up and to see what the weather's like there.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know, because it usually is. I mean, there's a lot of times where it seems like it's somebody that's you don't quite expect, right? Colin Morikawa.
Yeah.
This year, and you know, there's obviously good players that are up at the top, but it's, if you look back at their list of champions, it's, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag with, you know, Jimmy Walker being a PGA champion, and there's some other ones. So this one will be a little bit harder, I think, to choose in actuality. And I was thinking that the U.S. Open was next, but I forgot that they moved this to the to May, that was supposed to be this year, kind of moving it to May. But I think another young gun may win this one again. So
I think it'll be a repeat major winner personally.
So I'm just trying to think who would be your repeat major winner. That takes out Rom.
Yep.
Obviously. Takes out like a guy like Victor Hovland or Matt Wolf. Justin Thomas is a possibility.
I think he's my pick. I'd say JT. He's going to be solid throughout the year. He was solid the beginning of this 2021 season. He was great in 2020. And he's just a guy that really controls his irons pretty darn good. So I think he's a really good, and he's just confident. And you need that.
Yeah.
I think that's who I'd pick for the PGA.
And I said a young gun, but I actually think I'm going to pull off of that when I go with Webb Simpson.
Ooh.
Somebody, Kiawah Island's pretty tight, so you need to be able to keep it there. And he just seems to get it done and on courses like that. It's pretty, like I said, it's not the best move, but he definitely gets it done with what he does. So I'm going with, we're going to go with Webb Simpson on that one.
All right. Mark it down.
We're going to have to kind of refer back to this as we go forward. Then the next one is the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. I think it's going to be a bomber here, truthfully, which, again, plays kind of right into DJ's hands.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different, but I still think it – I mean, he can do it. I kind of didn't say this, but I think that Bryson DeChambeau, I don't think he will. I think – it was the perfect storm for DeChambeau at the U.S. Open this last year, with the, you know, kind of pushing it back and mm-hmm. and a couple of other things that went on. But I think if he misses it in some of those spots that he did on Winged Foot, that he'll get himself in a little bit more trouble here at Torrey Pines. So I don't think it's going to be him. Man, it's hard for me not to go with DJ again.
I know he really.
I did say two out of four.
Yep.
On that, but I think it's going to be either DJ or JT. I think it's going to be a year where these guys that were on top just kind of play really, really well.
My pick for the U.S. Open at Torrey, you know, this is a way outside pick, but I agree with you. It's got to be a bummer. The course is just so brutal and so long, and the rough gets crazy. A great driver of the golf ball I'm going to pick is Rory McIlroy, which is way outside. Like, to think that Rory's going to win a major is a crazy, crazy pick. But, you know, when I think about some of the longest and best drivers on the tour right now, like, I just feel like he has a much better chance than other guys, besides DJ, of course. But and I think historically he's played half decent down there, so...
Right. So, and that's not a bad pick, and it'd be kind of fun to see him win it. So,
yeah.
I
think he has the tools too. It's just like, when's he going to put it together, and could it be at the U.S. Open at Torrey? So,
let's see. So the last. Oh, and we can kind of get into there. So the final major of the year is at Royal St. George's, the Open Championship, British Open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of your last three champions there have been Greg Norman in 93. Ben Curtis in 2003.
Oh.
And then Darren Clark in... Yep. 2011. Like, you look at that and you're like, what? Ben Curtis? What? Who?
Yeah. And the weather that year was just horrific. It was rain drenched, cold, wet, and he kind of just played out of his gourd.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how this one plays out. Let's see. Trying to find more out on the course, but it doesn't.
Well,
Again, I
I
guess
will
I can
say
look.
this. My pick will not be an American.
You don't think it an American's winning this one?
No, and the reason is one, not that the tournament itself, if it was held last year, would have given them the opportunity to like feel what it's like to play an open, but that there's some preparation and people need to become familiar with it. And with a year skipped, nobody's going over there to get ready for an open championship. And so I honestly feel like some of those guys that do play those Euro Tour events, they're gonna have a much better feel, a much better opportunity to be prepared for what's gonna be happening in England. So
I agree.
that's
I
yeah,
agree.
I that, that and if I was gonna pick a Euro Tour guy, I mean, man, I think the only guy that that's tough. That's tough. Oh
It's
man. Because I want to say Fleetwood, but he's just got a lot of glam power. But again, he's on the list for comeback player, right? So it's
right.
like, what are we gonna do? But yeah, I think it is, I'll have to look at a list of Euro Tour players that I feel we're gonna get it. I mean, maybe that is a ROM. Maybe that's a ROM right there,
Yeah, I mean, that would there. I mean, how fitting would it be if Lee Westwood can kind of keep his hot streak going? He's been playing really good of late. And like I said, he looks fit.
Yeah.
I think he actually wants to prove some things and actually get himself into the mix for a couple of other things. Looking at it, and you look at the Race to Dubai leaders. I mean, Lee Westwood, obviously. Fleetwood, the funny thing is Fleetwood was top four there. Matthew Fitzpatrick, he might be kind of a breakout guy that you wouldn't think of there. Someone like a Tyrrell Hatton, just as long as they'll let him wear a hoodie on that. And Louis Oosthuizen, and he can the guy's a ball striker, so you kind of really never you really never know who can come out of that.
I'm gonna stick with Rom. I think he's got it. I just think he knows what it's like to play over there. He has great ball flight control, being able to work the ball. And
He doesn't play over there a ton, though.
no, but at least he grew up there.
He grew up in Spain, but
Europe. I kind of put it
he just
all
throw them
together.
all together. I'm gonna go, and I don't. I mean, this is kind of. I'm just gonna throw. Westy gets his first major at Royal St. George's.
Whoa. Whoa. He's like, what is he, 47?
Yeah, 47. But I mean, you think about it, until the final round of the 2019 Open Championship, he was actually in the mix. And he's played pretty good golf this year. I actually think the kind of limited schedule that he played and was able to play kind of helped him out a little bit on that front. And he may just stay over there, because he pretty much did. I think he only played like one or two tournaments over in the States, if I remember right. So I think he may do that, and he just will be ready to go. So yeah, we're going way deeps into the depths of dark horse there. But I don't know. Maybe I'll put 10 on it and see what happens. If I put it there this early, well, I don't know. He might actually have better odds right now.
I mean, if we're choosing dark horses, then I would love to see Tony Finau win the U.S. Open. So
he's got a chance. He's definitely struggling with some things in his game right now.
Yeah.
But like I said, Utah guy, would love to see it. But like I said, Westwood, it's a little bit of a flyer, but I actually think he's been playing pretty well. And I think he'll play most of his golf over in Europe. So he just won't be tired. I don't think he'll have the wear and tear on his body that he would need. I mean, he'd need to have that freshness to make it.
And the thing is like the Open Championship, the way some of those courses are set up, you don't need to be a DJ to win it.
No.
And even in the last 20 years, the most memorable ones for me were the one where Greg Norman, who was like 60, and he almost won the thing. And then Tom Watson,
yeah.
Almost won it too. And it was like, holy cow. And it's really about knowing how to play those. But I mean, Watson was amazing. I mean, if anybody knew how to play a British, it was him.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy in that sense.
But yeah, it's about the guys that know it well. And could Westwood do that? I think he could. But again, I picked John Rahm. So
John Rahm, he'll have his equipment figured out and how to play it by then.
Oh yeah.
So it'll be an interesting year. I'm looking forward to it. As always, like I said, I think I've paid more attention to golf this year as far as more than any other sport. I didn't watch a ton of basketball. I haven't watched a ton of NFL. I never really watched a lot of hockey, but like I think they had a season. I didn't even really know that it happened. So that's about how much I paid attention to any other sport really besides golf this year. Which actually may become a trend, because really that's what I like to watch. I still watch it in passing, some of this stuff, but I don't think it'll be like, it's Sunday NFL. And I don't think that'll be there as much as it has in the past. And so it'd be nice to just focus on golf a little bit more, playing it a little bit more and watching it
case for me, for sure. And even from the reports, like I see these news flashes that even NBA ratings are just tanking, and it's interesting climate right now. But man, golf, it's a great place to be.
Yeah, it's a good space right now. So other than that, I know that you're headed off for the new year. Are you going to be in Bear Lake? You're going to be on the Utah side.
Utah side.
Utah side.
Yeah. Nice little mountain lake and this beautiful clear water. I won't be jumping in it. I don't do any polar bear plunges. If anything, it might even be a little bit frozen.
it may be frozen. It's been fairly cold. Like I said, we haven't gotten a ton of snow, which, hopefully that comes a little bit, but it's definitely been cold. So enjoy yourself up there. Like I said, whatever you're doing, whether you're just sitting by the fire and drinking some hot chocolate and hanging out with the family or whatever you're doing there, but enjoy your New Year's. And like I said, to 2020, We out.
Hasta la vista, baby.
For sure. Yeah. So we'll be back in 2021.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you'll get the same stuff from us. Same just quality content.
That's the good stuff.
Just the good stuff. All right, Weston. Well, appreciate you, bud, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Buttercuts Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating, review, and subscribe. We appreciate it. Until next time, keep hitting the buttercut.